Welcome back to the podcast, Healing Differently, a podcast where we talk about healing, healing from a chronic disease and what it means, and how to look at everything in a different way. In this podcast, I'd like to talk about awakening. Is your chronic disease an awakening? So let's dive into this. Before we continue, please like and subscribe. Rate it on Spotify. Put a comment in the comment section and share it with friends and other people who might need this. This would really help us to spread the message about healing and about what we're doing. Thank you. Awakening, the topic, is very spiritual. A spiritual awakening. What does this mean? What is it exactly? Is it just a fancy word? Or does it actually mean something practical? In the beginning days of being a health coach, I was quite spiritual. I thought at the time that my healing journey was a spiritual journey. And I received lots of criticism about it. For example, I used to open every video with "Hello, beautiful souls." But I don't do that anymore, because not everybody liked this. People from different religions, or people want to stay practical, etc. And at the same time, the phrase "Hello, beautiful souls" was stolen by someone who also wanted to become a health coach and dive into this topic. So I thought it was better to stop using the term "beautiful souls." Nevertheless, you can be a beautiful soul, of course. But at the same time, the healing community is not that fancy. It's not that great. It can be pretty toxic. And not everybody is in those moments a beautiful soul, I think, because they forget who they really are. So who are you really? And what is awakening? And what is spirituality, for example? So to start, spirituality is, according to Alan Watts, my favorite philosopher, events that happen, but they don't stay the same. So usually when we talk about spiritual moments, we talk about the great stuff, like a dream or a vision or non-duality, or brief experiences that come and go. But everything comes and goes, even the material world. It goes a little bit slower. But therefore, according to Alan Watts, our world as it is right now is very spiritual. We can create a boundary or a border between this world and the world of dreams, for example. And we can judge this world, the world that you can see with your eyes, as non-spiritual. And the world in dreams and prayers and visions, we can call that spiritual. But that's just a division that the mind is making. The mind is labeling. And the mind doesn't like certain things. The mind doesn't like to be sick, for example. So you're in resistance to be sick. And at the same time, you can flee from that into a different type of world. A world with meditation, for example, visions, or lots of thoughts even about spirituality. What does it mean when I'm awakened? I will be enlightened. I will be better than everyone else. Oh, wait, that doesn't sound so enlightened, does it? So if you crave enlightenment, then know where you are. Because if you would be enlightened, you wouldn't crave for it. So you want to be enlightened because you experience turmoil and stress and maybe even trauma. But when you're enlightened, is that really gone, or is something else happening here? So according to this theory from Alan Watts, everything is spiritual. Right now, drinking a cup of coffee, listening to a podcast, being sick, etc. Everything can be spiritual. And Alan Watts also says that we are spiritual beings, Because if everything is spiritual, then you are everything as well. You are also a spiritual being. So then it's said that we are spiritual beings having a materialistic experience. But every experience is about changes, different things that you can experience for a brief moment. So life in itself is spiritual from that perspective. But in the past, I didn't see it that way. I wanted to make it magical. I had a spiritual moment where I experienced oneness with, let's say, God, the source, Allah. All there really is. And I was one and completely at peace. And in that spot, there were no thoughts possible. And because of that, I was in a timeless spot with no space and no time. And I forgot about myself very fast. Until the moment that I had a shock. Where am I? And I couldn't find myself. So that was the start of a spiritual experience, right? A different type of experience. And maybe the start of an awakening. And in the months after that, a lot of things that I wanted for years materialized very fast. When I was thinking about something, it almost instantly manifested. It really felt like I was God or something like that. But after a while, I experienced symptoms. More and more fatigue, until there was a moment after a viral infection that these symptoms would never disappear anymore. So why did that happen? Was I really ready for the next step in evolution, the next step in my spiritual journey, the next step in this journey of life? I think it is. Because looking at it in hindsight, after many years of suffering, I let go of a lot of old stress that was in my body. Trauma, beliefs, coping mechanisms. Bit by bit did they leave my body. And in the end of my healing journey, I noticed that the symptoms were just a protection mechanism against certain stressors. Stressors that were, in the short run, very uncomfortable. But in the end, I mean, like, the symptoms were more uncomfortable in the end, in the long run. So there was a protection mechanism going on in my mind or in my brain to protect me against my stressors. And as a result, I experienced stress and symptoms. After a few years of suffering from a chronic disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, I had a moment where I completely gave up. I mostly gave up on all my thoughts. Because what a nonsense that was. All these things that I was going to do. But all I could do in those years was laying in bed, suffering, hardly sleeping, feeling completely wired and stressed, and maybe having to close my eyes and blind the curtains or put something over the window. That was my experience. So I became aware of a lot of thoughts. Thoughts that I took for granted because they were normal. And because I really gave up, because I was so fed up, these thoughts instantly disappeared and I became present in the present moment, present in my body, feeling everything. In the first 20 minutes or something, I felt worse, but I was like, I let it come over me. But within 45 minutes, I felt so much better. Just 45 minutes of having no thoughts made me feel so much better. So what are thoughts? And if we make spiritual awakening or spirituality a thought, do we then really experience it? Or do we experience thoughts? And most concepts about spiritual awakenings or spirituality are thoughts. They are stories and ideas. Ideas that we like to tell ourselves. And maybe even lies that we tell ourselves. And all these lies comes with beliefs. But in order to have a thought, you need to keep thinking it. So what you see is that a lot of spiritual people tend to think a lot. And then maybe to overcompensate or to compensate with that, they do meditation. But why do you meditate? To be spiritual? To be awakened? To get a dream or to get a vision? What's the purpose behind it? When I had 6 months of hardly any thoughts, I felt amazing. I was really happy, despite still having severe symptoms. Life was good, and I could sleep much, much better. So I improved a lot in those months. Via the here and the now, I accessed what we can call that spiritual part of me. And I stayed, so to say, with God, or with Source and Oneness. And that made me feel really good. Sometimes I was really gone, not really here anymore, but in a different realm. A realm with silence, nothingness, and peace, and love. And then once in a while I came back to my body here, planet Earth, suffering, disease, my room, four walls, the glass of water that was still standing next to my bed, to my surprise. Everything was still there. But I always took something with me from that spiritual place. And I started having memories of who I was before planet Earth, before this lifetime, before I became Daniel. And that changes everything. Because suddenly the question, why am I here, was answered. I know exactly right now what I'm going to do with my life and why I'm here. And I'm not here to stay in that spiritual realm or in that place of oneness. I'm here to actually do work, to be practical, to do things. And I'm going to do those things because of a plan that I made. Well, not really alone, but there was a plan made for this life. And I'm living it. That doesn't mean that everything that I'm going to do in this life is easy. Maybe it's even harder. Because in order to have this experience of this life, I needed to go through a chronic disease, not just 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. I needed to be very extreme. Otherwise, I couldn't do what I was here for. At the same time, that experience of having no thoughts and mental silence taught me a very big lesson. The mind can't really see reality. It merely labels it. This is a tree. This is a house. I am Daniel, etc. So we are labeling everything. And all these labels become a filter that we look through. And as a consequence of all these labels, we don't really see the things anymore that we're labeling. But life is a constant change. But in our mind, we've created stuckness. Stuckness because we keep holding on to those old concepts. But everything changes. Even concepts can change. Concepts can be manipulated. There is a constant change going on. And the mind can't really see that. And everything is much more alive than the mind likes to make you believe. But the mind becomes a filter, and in that filter you can become stuck. And the addiction to the mind and its thoughts is a coping mechanism. A coping mechanism is there to make you avoid feelings and emotions. So with every thought that you're having, what is it that you're trying to avoid? It's really important to understand coping mechanisms in your healing journey. It's really underestimated. There are three types of coping mechanisms. There is the coping mechanism in a form of an action that you do to overcompensate a feeling that you're having. Let's say you feel worthless and you want to reach the opposite, and then you would like to have status. And you can do that, for example, via working and pleasing. Then working and pleasing becomes a coping mechanism to deal with the feeling of unworthiness. But by not looking at the unworthiness, you make the unworthiness even more unworthy. And therefore, everything that you do from that space will enhance the underlying wound, but that will also make you need to do more of those coping mechanisms. The coping mechanisms that will never make you arrive at worthiness. It's merely a distraction. Because as long as you're very occupied with doing something, you don't notice the underlying feeling of unworthiness. So that's overcompensating. You can also surrender to a feeling and emotion. If you surrender to the feeling of unworthiness, you keep, for example, mentioning in every event that you're so bad at this or that you're so worthless. And you can also avoid. So every action that can possibly trigger the feeling of unworthiness, let's say a competition, for example, or dating, you go and avoid that. And then you can avoid that with watching television, for example. So all these things are coping mechanisms. And it's really important to understand that, because what you're doing in those moments is that you prime your brain that the feeling that you are avoiding is very dangerous, hence the coping mechanism. And then after 10, 20, 30 years of conditioning yourself that way, whenever those feelings come up, after a good moment in life, let's say safety, let's say love, let's say freedom, spare time, holiday, or maybe something magical like a pregnancy, all these old stressors that you're trying to avoid for years, they come up. And as a consequence, your brain is creating symptoms to protect you. And this is very practical, because when we let people think about these triggers or about these stressors, we can turn these symptoms on immediately. But when we release the underlying stressors, let's say fear or unworthiness, when we really dive into this, the body starts to release this, start shaking, shivering, sweating, crying, etc. Then there is no reason anymore to make you to make you feel protected from this with these symptoms. And then the symptoms, they are gone instantly. So is this a spiritual process then? Is this an awakening? Not really, right? This is called stuckness. So the awakening is that after a moment of safety, a moment where you are yourself and you remember a part of you after the hypnosis of your own mind, feel some freedom, some lightness, some love, and some safety, your truth. The old stuff in your body doesn't resonate with that anymore. The old stress, fear, anger, shame, loneliness, it needs to get out of your body. But the brain perceives that as a danger and protects you from this. And as a consequence, you experience symptoms. And the longer you have symptoms, the longer you're stuck. Nothing resolves itself. So you need a release to release those stressors and emotions. And after that, you're good again until the next layer wants to come up. Because what we see in these, let's say, spiritual awakenings is that there may be 100 layers or 1,000 layers. It all depends on the difficulty of your life and the amount of trauma and stress that you have inside of you. And we can't really generalize this. Not every practitioner had thousands of layers, maybe only one, and then they become a practitioner. Just do this. This is the way I healed. But it doesn't really work that way, because if your practitioner has no experience in many different types of layers, then you're going to be stuck again and again. I know that what I'm saying is not attractive to everyone. It doesn't resonate per se. And maybe it doesn't have to resonate with you. Maybe we need this friction. We need to get you out of the comfort zone of your own ideas and beliefs and what you perceive to be okay. And healing methods that are globally accepted right now. Because all of these methods are very complicated. You need to do it maybe 30 times a day. All these rounds of brain training. Pacing very slowly. And after working for it so many months, you might have experienced results. And most people experience results in the short run, but not so much in the long run. So I tried to turn this around as well. Like, you don't have to work hard for a release. Well, there is preparation tools to be done, and everybody has its own speed and time. But after a release, your symptoms can be gone instantly. So, because, well, then you're empowered. You know exactly how to do this. And if you did it once, you can do it again. And then you'll notice that a chronic disease made you feel so imprisoned, stuck. But this feeling is not new. Because the truth is that we've all been imprisoned. Imprisoned by our own minds, imprisoned by our own trauma, by our own beliefs, and by society. We are controlled by the unconscious desire to not feel. To not feel the pain. So there is a battle between freedom and imprisonment, but also a battle between the darkness and the light. The light is everything that we can see, and the darkness is everything that we can't see. So when you have symptoms, there is something that you can't see. And as soon as you can see it fully and feel it fully, there is no darkness anymore, and the symptoms disappear. And the coping mechanisms that we have to avoid feeling, let's say, feelings of unworthiness and shame, they also imprison us. I mean, how exhausting is it to always need more of something? More status, more money, more approval, to be seen, to be heard, to be loved by others, to be accepted by others. It's a constant work, a constant effort. And we often repeat our childhood trauma to ourselves. So we become the adults that treat ourselves bad in the same way that we have been treated as a child by adults who also treat themselves that way. So we repeat the cycle again and again and again and again and again. And society is based on this. Society is thriving on this. We want it to be that way. We want our children to go to school and to be completely trapped in the mind because we think it's important. Why? Because the child needs to earn money. Why? Because otherwise it might not survive. Why? Because we are afraid that we don't have enough. Ah, yes. So if everything we do then is a coping mechanism to deal with that underlying fear of not having enough, we are imprisoned by not feeling that there is not enough. But everything changes, right? Not really. In the darkness, things can stay constant for a very long time. You can have the feeling of shame that happened when you were 5 years old. You can still have that in your body when you're 80 years old. And it's ruining your life. In the beginning, it wasn't that obvious. But because you kept coping, you kept enhancing the underlying wounds. And therefore, many adults become funny over time. It's like, how can they not see anymore what they're doing? I mean, that's what I thought when I was a child. But I was growing old rapidly because of all this trauma and feelings that I didn't want to see. And I became just like them. When I was 30, I was just as crazy and a nuthead as someone who was in his 80s. So it was a bit more extreme. And that allowed me to dive into this, to really free myself. And I think that's the goal of spiritual awakening or awakening, to free yourself from all the bullshit ideas, beliefs, coping mechanisms, trauma, ideas, opinions, etc. But then, who is left? Who do you leave behind after this process? Yeah. For many people, the idea of not having to cope anymore sounds foreign and maybe even ridiculous. Maybe all your life you're trying to become a good boy. Maybe you do that with all kinds of methods, like going to the gym, being muscled, dating with women, having a girlfriend, etc. And not having to do those things makes you feel pointless. But the points that we have are like thoughts that we pinpoint on our external reality or internal reality, and we make them fixed. But by not having any points or thoughts, you can really be there, be free. For example, let's assume that you're playing a virtual reality. Let's assume that you're playing a virtual reality right now. And maybe you remember who you really are. So you remember that you're the player playing this adventure. What are you going to do in the game? Right? Let's not make the game Grand Theft Auto, where you steal cars. But what are you going to do? You can just play, right? That's why we call it playing video games. But we're not doing that here. We're suffering. We're working very hard. We're putting pressure on ourselves. We need motivation for all the coping mechanisms because they're so exhausting. We get tired. We grow old. All these things. And if we grow old and die only from a place of imprisonment, I think it's a hell of an experience. That's what we're here for. It's the very opposite of who we really are. But it can also be seen as a wasted life. Try again next level, another 80 years, 90 years, or 100 years. But the funny thing is that the darkness always creeps in again and again and again through the back door. Let's say you're healed and you want to become a healer. In the beginning, your intentions were pure. But after a while, you notice that they're not anymore. Or maybe you don't want to see it. Maybe you go to seminars where it is about how to earn six figures in a year. Maybe you want to be seen. Maybe you like the attention. But who wants to be seen? Someone who doesn't see himself. Who wants more money? Someone who doesn't feel safe. Who wants attention? Someone who doesn't feel love, maybe. So in the healing scene, we see that a lot of things are corrupted by the darkness, and therefore they lose their power. I think it's, on one hand, it's a pretty toxic scene. So therefore, we need to do whatever we can to make this pure. With every action that I'm doing, I have to ask myself, why am I doing this? Do I count likes? Do I do this for the money? What is the idea behind this? And, you know, you can be rich. You can be famous. But don't do it out of lack. Don't just copy as well things that you've done and try to make your own cash cow. I don't think that's wise. Yet many clients of mine mentioned in coaching sessions that this is what they want to do as well. It's a cash cow. That's a word that I also got in a session from a client. And if you're listening, you know, no hard feelings. But we have to be very careful of why we're doing things. Very careful, especially when you're working in the healing scene. And that's the reason why I knew this 4 or 5 years ago. And then when I made, when I coached donation-based, you know, I knew that I didn't have all the answers. I knew that it's probably not easy to copy my own results to everyone else. So, you know, let's learn. Let's work for free. Let's work donation-based. Then let's create a donation-based course. And that made me able to have over 1,000 one-on-one coachings, over 10,000 of people who did the old free program. And that gave me feedback, a lot of feedback. And suddenly everything that was in the healing scene to be accepted as normal, I was questioning that. And that's exactly what we do in an awakening as well. We have to awaken again and again and again and again. All these ideas and beliefs of things that are supposed to be important, actions that we need to do. I'm going to work as a coach, for example. Like, why? Where does that come from? And do you really want to do this? Because is this really going to make you free? Well, you might say yes. Financially, it's going to make me free. But you can always get more money. And if it's not coming from a place of freedom, then every action you're doing is coming from a place of imprisonment. And you will create more of that, what you're trying to avoid, imprisonment. So in order to be more spiritual, to make things change more rapidly, we need to really be with ourselves, here and now, in this reality. Don't go to astral realms, etc. Be here and be now. That's all you need. Like, if we would need all these other realms, why aren't they accessible to us? Because we don't need them. We're here for the work, for the physical, materialistic work. We're here as well to play with the darkness and to transform it into the light. I think that's what we're here for. And then freedom. I think we're here for freedom.